Thank you. Good morning.
What are some things in this life that you know you need to absolutely avoid because it would not be good for you physically and or emotionally or even spiritually? That list could get pretty long, right? Do you know who else is aware of that list of harmful things it is good for us to avoid? God is aware. And because of this, He gives us the best advice to help. But it will not help if we avoid it or don't follow it. Today we hear more of God's perfect advice for our lives. And so we ask God to help us not only open our ears to this advice, but also to follow it. It is good to be here together in the house of the Lord, whether that be in person or online. God be praised. For this too is another day the Lord has made. We definitely have reason to still rejoice and amen. Now turn your attention to the invocation found on page 3 of our service bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Amen.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord in the heavens. Come before Him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His.
We are His people, the sheep of His pasture.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise.
Give thanks to Him and praise His name.
For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues for all generations.
Teach me, O Lord, to follow Your decrees. Then I will keep them to the end.
Give me understanding, and I will keep Your law and obey it with all my heart.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him.
Thank you. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. Jesus has said, as recorded in Matthew 22,
"Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind."
This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. But we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against You and do not deserve to be called Your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to Your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, we confess that we deserve to be punished for our evil deeds, but we ask You graciously to cleanse us from all sin and to comfort us with Your salvation.
Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from Holy Scripture on this fourth Sunday in Lent from the book of Judges, the 10th chapter, asking this question as we go through these words: how many times should God take you back? Praise God for His justice, and also praise God for His mercy. We hear these words. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They served the Baals and the Asherahs and the gods of Aram, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, and the gods of the Philistines. And because the Israelites forsook the Lord and no longer served Him, He became angry with them. He sold them into the hands of the Philistines and the Ammonites, who that year shattered and crushed them. For 18 years they oppressed all the Israelites on the east side of the Jordan in Gilead, the land of the Amorites. The Ammonites also crossed the Jordan to fight against Judah, Benjamin, and Ephraim. Israel was in great distress. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord, "We have sinned against You, forsaking our God and serving the Baals." The Lord replied, "When the Egyptians, the Amorites, the Ammonites, the Philistines, the Sidonians, the Amalekites, and the Moabites oppressed you, and you cried to Me for help, did I not save you from their hands? But you have forsaken Me and served other gods. So I will no longer save you. Go and cry to the gods you have chosen. Let them save you when you are in trouble." But the Israelites said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do with us whatever you think best, but please rescue us now." Then they got rid of the foreign gods among them and serve the Lord, and He could bear Israel's misery no longer. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite your attention to our psalm for today, Psalm 115. You can find it on page 12 of our service bulletin. Back on page 6, an encouragement to stay close to God, a reading from Holy Scripture, James chapter 4. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Sacrifice in my behalf appears before the throne. my surety stands, before the throne my surety stands. My name is written on his hands. My name is written on his hands. Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers, they strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry. Nor let that ransomed sinner die. Nor let that ransomed sinner die. My God is reconciled, his pardoning voice I hear. He owns me for his child, I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh, with confidence I now draw nigh. And Father, Abba, Father, cry, Father, cry. Arise, my soul, arise. And Father, Abba, Father, cry.
I invite you to stand for our next reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Praise God for people who remain faithful, connected to Him at all times by way of His Word. Let us also praise God for the opportunity for people to reconnect back to God and His Word. We hear these words of our Lord. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Christ.
Please be seated as we now turn to the hymn, "Before You, God, Judge of All." Dear friends, something remains yours still in great abundance, and that is God's grace and His mercy and His peace. And this is all possible thanks to our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus this morning. Amen. We turn our attention back to the words from the book of James. We hear these words, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who thankfully went the way of the cross to spare us from eternal harm. If you suspect that you might have an infection, do you just try to let it run its course and hope that it will not harm you physically? Or do you go and seek medical attention with the goal of getting something to help root out that infection? Maybe you get a headache once in a while, or some other ache. You may or may not choose to take medicine for whatever ache you have. Now, if you choose to take medicine, does it matter what medicine you take for that ache? It does. Is not all medicines are alike and are meant to cure the same ache? And there's also a reason why we are told that we're not supposed to share our prescription medicine with others. If you see warning signs pointing out potential danger on a bottle of medicine or even on a cleaning bottle, an agent, do you think to yourself, I can ignore that warning because that doesn't apply to me? Ignorance is not always bliss, is it? And thinking that you have all the answers is not good either. Even if you did find an answer on the internet, because the internet does not always give us the helpful advice that we need or accurate advice, especially when it comes to health care. It may or may not be accurate depending on the particular situation. So discretion is necessary. The same premise can be applied when it comes to our spiritual well-being. And each and every person here on earth has a spiritual well-being, even if that person claims to be an atheist. They have a spiritual well-being to be concerned about. And the reason is because there is so much advice out there in the world today. Some of it comes from our own head. But not all that advice is good for us. Thankfully, the advice that God has before us once again today, that advice is valuable, it is priceless, it is to be heeded. In a nutshell, the advice for today can be summed up with these words, this encouragement, drink up the antidote. Why? Because God knows that the poison is deadly. The poison that is in us by nature and the poison that is all around us in the world. To help think about the poison that is within us and around us, what might you currently be struggling with or seeing as an obstacle in your life that could impact you perhaps physically as well as emotionally? And even spiritually. Maybe it's an addiction to pornography. Maybe it's an addiction to drugs. Maybe it is thinking more of yourself than you ought. Our sinful nature is not looking out for our best interests. It is poisonous. And if it's not taken care of, it will kill us. Not just physically, but for all eternity. And so the Lord is concerned about us and thus has given us the antidote. But not just for the poison that is within us by nature and that leads us to struggle and wage war, especially as Christians, with our new man and the old Adam. But also the poison that is around us in the world today. And we know who is promoting such poison in the world and also encouraging our old Adam to drink up more poison. Satan, there's a reason why he is called the father of lies, a murderer from the beginning. Think of some of the poison that exists in our day and age. And really, when it comes to the poison of the world, there's nothing new under the sun. It flares up at different times throughout history. It might be called a different name, but think of one of the poisons such as General Neutral and how that can impact the Christian church even, how we need to look at everybody as gender neutral. We don't know how to refer to people at work anymore, and we try not to cause offense, but we can cause offense even without trying. Yes, we need to show love, but think of the poison that is being spread through that advice. Or the poison of one's view of marriage. Or the poison of, that's coming back again, how we are to view women as second-class citizens, as objects, and not as fellow equal human beings. Or the poison of indifference or apathy. The poison of laziness. And as in the last couple of years, we've definitely seen that heightened. As people now, hey, if I'm getting paid for not to work, why should I work? Let someone else pay me not to work. Poison is all around us. And it's not just out in the world, right? Unfortunately, that poison can seep its way into the church. How many churches have fallen for the poison of the devil and of our sinful flesh and are saying it's okay to advocate the poisons of the world? After all, God is a God of love. Totally taking that statement from 1 John out of context. And then when people try to point out that poison pumping through your veins, our old Adam chafes at it. We don't want to be corrected. Who are you to tell me what I can or cannot drink? If I want to drink poison, let me do it. Well, finally, that's on you. But God doesn't want you to drink poison. And we, your fellow human beings, don't want you to see drinking poison. And so God has offered up the antidote. Part of that antidote is a call to repentance. In a very picturesque way, in James, the Lord points out the need for the call to repentance. Wash your hands. How often do we do that on a daily basis, especially with the pandemic in recent history and still going on? We wash our hands quite a bit. Why? Because they get dirty. And you know what can get on your hands. Would you want to eat food from your hands before washing? And you know, I'm always kind of mystified when you go to a restaurant and you're in the restroom and you see that sign above the sink, employees must wash hands before returning to work. It's kind of like, duh. Wash your hands. Spiritually, it makes sense. As we wash our hands, think of the repentance that needs to take place within us. God, I am sorry for the poison that I continually drink up. I know better, and yet my sinful nature keeps taking me down that road. Yes, temptation in and of itself is not wrong, as Jesus was tempted and yet was without sin. But temptation, we cave into it too often. And so, Lord, help me recognize that poison that is in front of me, that comes through me, and that is surrounding me. Lord, help me wash my hands of that poison. And so he reminds us to be contrite. That's one of the first steps of repentance. Lord, I have sinned. I am wrong. Which then leads us to another aspect of the washing of hands. We have been cleansed. Not by what we do, that act of washing hands in and of itself, but what that represents. We have been washed clean through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. That's the heart of the message of the season of Lent, but not just Lent, the entire church year and an entire life as Christians. Jesus came to this world for a reason, to wash us clean through the shedding of his blood. He even said to his Father in heaven, Lord, if there's another way to cleanse people of their sin, let it be. But he knew there wasn't. And so not my will, but your will be done. And so to the cross he went and shed his blood for the forgiveness of each and every one of our sins. He is the antidote. There is no other antidote for the poison that kills us for all eternity. And so continually we are reminded to wash our hands in the blood of the Lamb. There's an action that takes place there out of humility. Followed by and connected to an attitude of grieve, mourn, and wail. Yes, there's a time for joy in this life, but there's also a time for grieving and mourning and wailing, recognizing the poison that is in us and surrounds us and that needs to be dealt with. An attitude that if it's not corrected could show itself by becoming attached to this world and the things of this world. There's a reason why First John, by inspiration, says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Because we cannot have a love for the world and a love for God at the same time. They're polar opposites. They want different things. And so it starts with that attitude. Grieve, mourn, and wail over the things of this world. Help me not become attached to these things. That the action in my life then shows more in favor of the world than of God. And when that happens, dear friend, wash your hands. Come clean in the blood of the Lamb. Because there is only one antidote. It's God-given. Jesus Christ. And he connects us to that antidote, Jesus Christ, through his means of grace. Another great gift that God has given to us, the gospel in word and sacrament, by which he connects us to himself by grace through the gospel, the empowering gospel rooted in Jesus Christ, and keeps us connected to that same Jesus so that we can continually drink up the antidote, because daily we're drinking in the poison. And so daily we need to drink up the antidote, that life-saving means that God has given to us. It's the solution, the saving means. In a way, through the means of grace, God has put a fence around us and calling us to faith. And it's a good fence. And as long as we're in that fence connected to God's means of grace, we're going to be okay. But sometimes, like Luke 15, the younger son, we want to explore what's out there. We think what's missing, we're missing something. So I want to break out of the church my parents made me go to all those years in the Sunday school. And I go outside that fence. And who's waiting for you? Satan. There's a reason why he's called the roaring lion, always hunger, looking for someone to devour. He doesn't want you as a Christian to get what Jesus has won for you for all eternity. And don't fool yourself into thinking that if I leave, I can always come back. Not everybody gets that chance as the prodigal son. Stay in the fence. God has given us the weapons we need to resist, to knock out the poison. Ephesians 6 reminds us of the breastplate of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. We can go on offense and defense with the Word of God, not just for ourselves, but for others who we know are drinking up the poison, and we want to make sure they keep drinking the antidote to knock that poison out of their life. And so the importance of staying connected to God. As James starts out with our text, yield to God. In other words, resist him. Hold on to God at all costs. And to do that, he gives us 10 commands in this section, which call for immediate action. No time to waste. This is to become a way of life for us. To resist the devil, to hold on to God, to drink up his antidote. And so God, help us as we stay connected to you to know and recognize the poison and to drink up the antidote. And in this way, dear friends, as the Apostle Peter said, we can make our calling and election sure that we stand with God. So let us not fool ourselves when it comes to our walk with God. As we recognize the importance of staying clean for our physical hygiene, all the more we need to recognize the importance of staying clean for our spiritual hygiene. And we have been given what we need to do just that. God's perfect advice for you today, and really then every day, and share it with others. Drink up the antidote. Amen. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the true antidote. Amen. Let's confess our Christian faith in these truths using the Apostles' Creed, found for us on page 9. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And we pray. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, we praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day. You have given us your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you for those who teach and preach your saving truth as well as everywhere. Grant them the rich treasure of patience, wisdom, and love.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessings to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore.
O Lord of heaven and earth and sea, to you all praise and glory be. How can we thank you properly, who gives us all? Dear Lord, from you we all derive our life, our gifts, our power to give. Oh, may we ever with you live, who gives us all. Bring healing to Zoe Malone, who had to be hospitalized over the weekend, and continue to give her parents what they need during this time so they can be a source of strength for Zoe. As Gary Verthine returns home from physical therapy, continue to renew his physical strength and abilities. Be with the family of Gail Raglan as she passed away this week. Thank you for bringing her to faith in you. And so may the family use her testimony of faith as comfort to themselves and as a springboard in conversations with others about the importance of a relationship with you. For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, thank you, Lord. You have watched over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace.
Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Thank you.
Just a reminder, if you have not had a chance to fill out the blue Connect card, please take the time to do so. Then Bible study, starting a new series next week. We're looking at Handel's Messiah, specifically the passages upon which that beautiful song has been written. So we'll look at that in the next few weeks. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society note, just a reminder, this is the last week for financial gifts to be counted towards the spring rally. So again, thank you for your support of this effort to support Mission Works efforts outside of budgetary. And so we thank you for these opportunities. You can see more information in the weekly news and also in the information board regarding the rally that's coming up on April 23rd. It's going to be held in Faith in Anderson. If you want to carpool, there's information there about that as well. And then also regarding the national convention, it'll be taking place in June of this year in New York. And it's an opportunity for thousands of people, men and women, who come together to hear the missionary stories firsthand. So look up the information there in the information board. Also then go to the website, Lutheran Women's Missionary Society. The early bird registration for that rally or that national convention is coming to a close pretty soon, so just keep that in mind. A lot of good things going on with LWMS, including some names, pastors, mission efforts that you can keep in mind in prayer. That list is available there too. We're at our fifth midweek Lenten service already, continuing our journey to the cross with our Savior. 5:30, supper in the Multipurpose Center. 6:30, worship here. Taco and Game Night, April 1st, no fooling, in the Multipurpose Center. Come for tacos, serve 5 to 6 games. They can start anytime within that 5 to 6 window, but they'll go on. We're even playing bingo, but not that kind of bingo. So just keep that in mind. And we'll probably try to wrap things up at 7 unless it's really going well, and then the last one out, make sure you set the alarm. We're having a food drive April 3rd through the 10th. We're supporting local food pantries in our neighborhood once again. So keep that in mind. You can drop off non-perishable items anytime during that week, April 3rd through the 10th. Palm Sunday, reminder, we're having one service on Palm Sunday at 9:15. So please get the word out to people. You know, it would be good to get that word out. We're having one service on Palm Sunday, 9:15. And also then, as we're doing, you're always welcome on Sunday mornings to join our Sunday school children at 9:15 to 9:30 as we sing various songs here in the church proper. So keep that in mind if you want to join and sing. Holy Week invites are available by the Welcome Center. They're on a yellow card. If you want to give somebody a piece of paper and invite them to Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and Easter breakfast. We're doing a light breakfast in between the two services, which are at 8 and 10:45. So again, those are available for you if you want to hand those out. And then during the month of April, directed to the weekly news for this. I know announcements are a little long this morning. In April, we're trying to update the directory app. And if you want to take a look at that, if you have it, maybe you want your picture updated. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't want your picture at all. But during the month of April, on the Sundays, any Sunday, please find Stacy Malone or Aaron Danu, and they're gonna take your pictures, and we're gonna update that as you direct. So any Sunday in the month of April, we're gonna start with that. Find those two ladies to get your app directory picture updated, and then just check out the weekly news for other good advice, things that are going on here at St. Mark's, and finally, the Wells Connection.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. It's no secret that Christian churches in Europe have been in decline for many decades, drifting further and further from the truth of Scripture. As distressing as that is, it does provide an opportunity for a church that offers solid biblical teaching.
These people are gathering to worship our Lord at the Wells Mission Church in London. What this group lacks in size, it makes up for in commitment. Members realize that the truths Wells teaches are missing in most other churches here.
I think the religious institutions that are kind of native to this country have lost their way in a lot of senses, and people are crying out for something more substantial.
It was the most wonderful, deep, fabulous teaching that we've been longing for all our life, really. So it's been brilliant, real life-changing experience.
Because this group doesn't have a full-time pastor, they only meet once a month when the Wells chaplain from Germany visits. But that hasn't diminished their enthusiasm.
As the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, they're eager to be able to share their faith on a regular basis with each other, but also to reach out with their Christian faith to others.
London may soon be getting a significant influx of Lutherans. The reason? China. As China cracks down on religious freedom in Hong Kong, many Christians are fleeing.
And there's great concern about whether Christianity is going to be able to continue in Hong Kong as it has. And so we have found out that our sister church body in Hong Kong has had about 20% of their members move over to England. As chapter 8 begins, says that that was actually the beginning of a fierce persecution in Jerusalem.
Our synod has responded to these events by making plans to call a full-time missionary to London to better meet the need and to take advantage of new opportunities.
I've been praying for it very earnestly, and I can't tell you how overjoyed I am. I just can't come here. It's just wonderful. Yeah.
And in London particularly, I mean, there's a real need for a Christ-centered, scripture-based Christian outreach and community.
London is a truly international city, with immigrants from around the world arriving daily. People in transition are often open to hearing the good news of Jesus, and our mission is poised for this new opportunity.
God willing, after the first missionary is established, a second will be added, perhaps focused specifically on serving people arriving from Hong Kong. While a door in Hong Kong may be closing, God is opening a new door in London.